But this is where we've got to. We want to wear our faith in Jesus confidently. It's not something to hide. It's not something to be apologetic about. It's something to delight in our lives. We're told to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothing is something that everyone sees. And that's how we want to be. We want to be people who live for Jesus and with Jesus and in the presence of God all the time. And we do it confidently. So, here's the passage we've been looking at. And I've been encouraging you to try and memorize it. So let's say it through once again together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. You got it? Okay, let's do it again. Okay? Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest, just great priest, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. I'm sorry if I'm treating you like it was a holiday club. Okay? But, you know, certainly for me, and I'm sure for many, one of the most helpful things I ever did was to memorize parts of the Bible. When I first became a Christian, even in the first few weeks, I got in with a group of people who really made this very important, and memorized it. A lot easier then, isn't it? But memorize lots of Bible verses that are helpful and just keep coming by in times of need. And this is one that you will find very, very helpful. So, what have we not looked at yet in this passage? Perhaps go back to the other one. What have we not looked at yet in this passage? Well, we've actually looked at a lot of it now. But there's a couple of things there we haven't looked at. The second line there, we haven't thought about the confidence that we need to have. And then after the words, let's draw near to God, we haven't thought about the sincere heart, and we haven't thought about full assurance of faith. So that's what I want to think about this morning. And I hope you feel like I feel as I'm looking at this, like you're mining along a seam of pure gold. And, you know, that's what the miners do. If they find a seam of pure gold, they just keep going and going and going, see how far it goes and how much they can get out of it. And you would believe me, I'm sure, if I said I could preach from this passage for a year quite easily. There's plenty in it, and probably for a lifetime, to be honest. There's plenty in it. So let's just have a quick recap. Especially if you're visiting this morning, I know you might think, well, where have I landed here? But the centre of this passage is the words in the middle there, let us draw near to God. So how do we draw near to God? And man has been coming up with answers to that question since time immemorial, making up religions. But what we're hearing is that God has given us, not religion, he's given us a relationship through Jesus Christ. We don't need to make it up. It's not going to work. Like we saw with the t-shirt, we can't clean ourselves. But Jesus can clean us. And this is really what it's all been about. It's been about discovering the work of Jesus. He is a great priest. And by his body and blood that are mentioned there, he has made a sacrifice of himself, his life, for our sins. And now he has gone through the curtain, he's gone from earth to heaven, into the presence of his Father, with the sacrifice, and to work still as a priest, presenting what he's done for us, so we know he's dealing with our sins completely, and we can't add anything to it or take anything away from it. We just have to trust him. We saw last week, the last couple of lines there, we saw last week how Jesus not only makes us right in God's sight, but he can make us right in our own sight. We can have a freedom from a guilty conscience. That's a very wonderful thing. I mean, I know many people go through life paralyzed by a guilty conscience. And Jesus, if we know that he's dealt with the past, we can have a guilt-free, a good, at-peace conscience. And that's a very wonderful and a very precious thing to have. And so we can draw near to God, as it says. And it's not like we have to go somewhere to do that. It's not like a place. Drawing near to God is right here, right now, wherever you are. Because although he's also all around us, he's also in the heart of the Christian believer by his Holy Spirit. And so it's really us and God together in the place where we are, wherever we are, we're with him. We're near to him through Jesus. There's a lot in what I've said there. And, you know, if you understand it all, then take hold of it. If you're still not sure about it, certainly ask someone who is. I'm very happy to be quizzed on these things for the rest of my life. Yeah. But this is how to draw near to God, through the work of Jesus. Now, why am I teaching this? Why is Hebrews teaching this? Is it just then so that you can know it? So you've kind of got another wee area, department of general knowledge that you've filled, ticked a few boxes? Well, no, of course it isn't. Or is it just so that it might be handy sometimes, like the defibrillator outside? Is it just sort of something that maybe one day you might need? And the truth is actually that, well, to think of the defibrillator, we have heart failure all the time. That is, our hearts fail in their commitments to God, to one another, constantly. And we go wrong, and we fall short. And so what we're teaching here is not something to store away for a rainy day. It's something to live with all the time, day and night. So if we just go forward a bit, looking at the verse that we've been looking at, let us draw near. There's quite a lot of other let us that come on top of the work of Jesus here. Let's draw near to God. That's 22, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together. Let's encourage one another. So there's a whole lot of stuff that should flow out of the work of Jesus. Let's do this. Let's be in God's presence and let's hold fast there. Let's encourage one another and meet with one another constantly so that we may work towards love and good deeds. It's meant to be with us all the time. Or to change the picture, what we sang in Psalm 73, we're meant to be continually with God. Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee. We're meant to live like that. It's not meant to be an occasional experience. We're not meant to look back and say, 30 years ago I had a great experience of God. We're meant to be able to say, every day I live with God. Every day is a day with God. And a real experience of that. So, this is basic stuff. This is basic Christianity. It's like understanding what Jesus has done and then applying it to yourself and saying, well, if he's paid for my sins, then I don't need to. My conscience doesn't need to be unclean anymore. And I don't need to be ashamed in God's presence. I can draw near to God. I can live with God. It's meant to be an essential part of the kit that a Christian has. It's meant to be an essential tool in the toolbox of a Christian. So, trying to be a Christian without understanding what Jesus has done is like trying to be a carpenter without a hammer. I mean, you need to have that essential basic tool of understanding what Jesus has done for you. And that is really what this whole passage is about. So don't feel ashamed if you're thinking, that's fine, Roddy, but I haven't really got it yet. If you feel that way, then be honest. And being honest with yourself, you know, keep going, seeking to understand and know who Jesus is and what he's done for you, and take hold of it in prayer for yourself. So the question is, you know, do we believe all of this? Do we believe it? If we just focus in on what we're going to look at today, these are words about believing, confidence, a sincere heart, full assurance of faith. We draw near to God. So we've got to believe. Now, people are funny about Christian faith, about faith in the Christian way of looking at things. I still face some kind of weird thing. But it's not. I mean, you're using faith all the time. I mean, it's basic as, you know, when David sat down in that chair, he had faith that it would collapse. It's that simple. We use faith all the time. When you got up this morning and you stepped out of bed, you had faith that the floor was still there and that you weren't going to fall into a big pit or hole. When you went in the kitchen and you opened the fridge, you had faith that there was going to be breakfast in there for you, and so on. It's that basic. It's like, it's there because, you know, someone's done something about it. Someone built that chair well. Someone bought the shopping. You know, someone paid for my sins and is now in heaven working on my behalf. Faith is just trusting that the job's been done. It's really something we shouldn't be weird about. And in these words, there are some really vivid pictures I want to draw out. Remember, the New Testament was written in the language of the northeastern Mediterranean world of Jesus' day, and that was Greek. Not ancient Greek, Greek of Homer, that's something else, but this is just a common language of the Roman world, most of the Roman Empire. Common Greek is what it was called. And so our New Testament is a translation. So I want to look back at some of the words that are translated there as they are. And I want to show you the richness of what we can do that. So the first thing is where it speaks about a sincere heart. Now the word is there, sincere. It's a word that means real. You've got a real heart. Like, not in the sense your heart's real, but in the sense that your heart is fixed on real things. You're not kidding yourself. You're not a pretend Christian. You're not pretending that things are fine with you and God. They really are fine because of Jesus. It's that kind of picture, that your heart is fixed on the real thing. You're fixed on Jesus because what Jesus has done works. It's real, it's solid, it's substantial. It's genuine. You know, the word sincere, I believe, it means unmixed. And, you know, it was a word that came out of trade, where someone might be trading something that's valuable, but they've mixed into it some cheap stuff. You know, they might be trading corn, but they've mixed into it some other grains that are easier to grow. And then it's not sincere anymore. It's mixed. An unmixed heart is a heart which is not like a bit of Jesus and a bit of me, a bit of Jesus and a bit of religion, and a bit of Jesus and a bit of hoping for the best. It's all Jesus. It's unmixed because he is the real article. He is completely and entirely and absolutely sufficient in himself for me to be with God and for me to approach the future with confidence, approach God with confidence. Now, how does that sound for you? You know, you look at your heart, you say, ah, I can see that in me too. I absolutely know Jesus is the real thing. And there's no kind of half portions in Jesus. He is the real thing. And my heart is fixed on him. Because that is one of the pictures. God's calling you to that. But then there's another picture. It speaks about full assurance of faith. Of faith. Full assurance. The word there, which is written there as full assurance, it's a word that means fully wearing something, actually. Fully wearing it. So, I'm fully wearing this t-shirt just now. I've not sort of got it half on me, I've got it completely on me. And, you know, I'm very happy to be seen on the video or in front of you with this white t-shirt on. Very pleased about it because it's nice and clean. This is actually the first time it's been on. It's brand new. It's clean. Ah, that gives you a clue that it wasn't the other t-shirt, doesn't it? You know, I'm wearing it fully. And that's actually the picture. We wear our faith fully. So it's not something we dip in and out of. And it's not something that we sometimes turn to when the going's tough or when we've run out of other options. You know, it's not like something that hangs in the wardrobe most of the time. And then occasionally we'll bring it out for a special occasion like Sunday morning or something. The picture is that what Jesus has done for us, our great priest and our sacrifice, is something for us to be always found in. Always found in. Always dressed in. So that I know that I wear, you know, a stain-free life before God. And that I can have a clean conscience before God. And that I can go out into the community. And I honestly don't need to be concerned at all what people think about me. Although I should listen to that because there's often important things to learn in that. But honestly, whatever judgments people pass, I know that Jesus is my great priest and sacrifice. And that whatever criticism people can level at me for my sins and my failings, and many of them are absolutely true, Jesus dealt with it. So I wear it. I wear this. And if you know, I'm not private in my Christianity, I wear it. And I wear it confidently. Why would I not? That's like saying, I'm not sure that Jesus got it right. I'm not sure that Jesus actually, when he went to Gethsemane and submitted himself to die on the cross, that he was on the right track there. I'm not sure he should have died on the cross. Or, you know, I'm not sure that he was ready to go back to heaven. Are we really going to say that? So why would we not wear confidently what Jesus has done in our lives? We can do that. And that's the picture. And then there's the word confidence. Now the word confidence there, it's a word about, again, about openness, about being plain and about being bold, both with God and in public. So I'm someone that must wear my confidence in public, but I must wear it with God as well. Confidence to enter the most holy place of God's presence. Now I have boldness. Why have I boldness? Because I'm bringing to God what he's done for me. I'm not coming to God and saying, oh, I did this for you, Lord. I hope it's okay. I'm coming to God and saying, thank you for what you have done for me in Jesus to make me able to come to you now. You did it, so you better accept it, Lord, because it's your work. And if you don't like your own work, then we're all in trouble and you're in trouble too. Instead, we come to God and say, Father, thank you for what Jesus has done. It's your gift to me. And I come boldly, confidently, openly into your presence, prayerfully, praisingly, thankfully, trustingly, because of Jesus. So it's real, I wear it, I go out with it on, as the headings are there. So I want to just zip through a few verses that say the same thing, which are good verses for us to just think about for a minute. So this is 1 John 3:21. You know, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence. The same word. It's the same word. Boldness, openness, confidence. Why would our hearts not condemn us when we've done wrong? With all the stains that we brought into our lives, why would they not condemn us? Well, because Jesus has taken the stains away. Jesus has died for our sins. So, we're not condemned. So we have a clean conscience, a heart that doesn't condemn us. So we can be bold before God, come to God as though we never sinned. There's nothing for him to find fault in us over, because he loved us so much that he dealt with all our sin in Jesus. Confidence. There's another one, Ephesians 3:12. In Jesus and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We've got a way into God, the word there, a way into God, and boldness in God's presence. Do you ever think of having boldness in God's presence? Do you come timid? You know, God says you don't need to come timid to God, because he's given us the way to come to him in Jesus. Well, if he's given us the way, and it's all about what he's done for us, and he's got it right, we should be confident in what God has done for us. And we come to God with that confidence when we pray, when we worship, and as we go out in the community and live. We just read this one. Let us approach the throne of grace, same word again, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy, find grace in time of need. So what's happened there is, you know, I've sinned. I've really gone off the rails as a Christian. But I can still come with confidence because of what Jesus has done, and start again and be washed again. And then if it's a time of need, it's a time where things are going wrong around me and within me, and I'm really not sure about the future, and I'm not confident about what's going to happen, I can still come to God with confidence. Nothing's changed in my relationship with him. You notice we read in Hebrews 4 about Jesus. He was a son of God. But although he was a son, he learned obedience. He learned how to keep on the right path through the things he suffered. Did you notice that? In other words, it's not saying that to be with God and follow God in this world is to be without suffering. Because often Christians go wrong there and think, I'm suffering, God's not pleased with me, something's gone wrong. No. I'm suffering as a Christian because God is wanting me to learn more obedience, so I can walk further along the path with him. And so even when I'm suffering, I can be confident to God. It's all part of his good purpose through Jesus. There's a couple of verses from Acts. The same word comes up twice. Now here's the apostles applying all that they've learned about Jesus in the early church. And this is just probably a few weeks after the day of Pentecost. And they're boldly preaching Jesus, and they brought before the Jewish council, and the Jewish council saw the courage. It's the same word, confidence, boldness, openness of Peter and John, and realized they're unschooled ordinary men. They were astonished. They took note these men had been with Jesus. That's verse 13. So, as Jesus had given them this courage, public courage, because they were obscure men from Galilee, but now they were down in Jerusalem, and they had more confidence than any of the Jewish leaders, than anyone, because they had Jesus. And a little bit further on, they come confidently to God. Now, Lord, consider the threats of the Jewish leaders and enable your servants to speak your word with, and there's the word again, great boldness, confidence, courage, openness. The Christian life, then, is not meant to be lived out in a wee corner. You know, you in your small corner and I in mine. It's not meant to be like that. It's meant really to be a very public enterprise that as Christians we're not apologetic to know God and have peace with God and have a great message which no one else has. And we're not meant to be apologetic with God either. Because what Jesus has done makes it all good. So, just close with this. Now, why would you not want to go out into God's presence or out into the community confidently and boldly? Because you know you're the best dressed person in God's presence. You're the best dressed person in the community. You know that because of what Jesus has done. You wear purity. You wear holiness. You wear righteousness. God sees you as beautiful. And all who appreciate what is beautiful and true see what Jesus has done for you and know that you have that confidence you have because of him. You're the best dressed person. You know, people around us look around us in our society and we see people and they're naked. They've got nothing on. Or we see people who are dressed in nonsense, trying to clothe themselves with whatever good deeds or whatever religion or whatever superstition they can cobble together. And maybe many of us were like that ourselves. And they're not well dressed at all. They're not well dressed before those who know what being well dressed is. And they're certainly not well dressed before God. So, it's just not the real thing. It doesn't get them into God's presence. But if we have Jesus, then we can have this confidence to wear him openly, to be confident, to be bold in God's presence, because we have had our stains removed. We've been made pure and we've been made clean through the work of Jesus. And we have a good conscience. And we know that we can always keep coming for fresh and new beginnings and washing through Jesus. We can live boldly in God's presence and confidently in our community, surrounded as we are by many people who don't have that. They may be brazen, they may be bold, they may be brash, but not with God. And not in terms of righteousness. When God appears, if they don't have Jesus, they will shrink away and pray even that the rocks would cover them, as the book of Revelation tells us. So let's not be ashamed. Let's wear what we have in Jesus. Let's wear it before God and before others. And let's also try and help others to find Jesus for themselves, that they also may have this confidence. Amen. Shall we just bow in prayer for a moment? Father, please hear our cries now to you. As we read, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Father, we pray, teach us how to do this. Teach us the perfect and complete value of what Jesus has done for us. Amen.